I'm joined by Tony Badron, Research Fellow at the Foundation for Defence of Democracies. Tony, the Washington Post last week described Syria as likely to be seen as one of the big policy failures for the Obama administration. Is that how you see it?
I think that's a point that's hard to dispute, because ever since the uprising began in Syria, a persistent failure of the Obama administration has been to place Syria in a broader strategic context for its vision and objectives in the region. And that remains the case. Syria has always been, as far as the United States' interests are concerned, about Iran and about breaking the Iranian alliance system in the region. The Obama administration has done very little to actually pursue that objective aggressively in Syria, and the policy that we've been seeing from the Obama administration reflects this lack of a strategic vision.
The UN appears to be gearing up for another round of diplomacy with the Russians. Do you see anything coming from that?
No, I don't see anything coming from that at all. In fact, the points that have been leaked so far by the team of Lakhdar Brahimi, the envoy of the UN and the Arab League, are rather problematic, because they suggest that Mr. Brahimi is proposing that President Bashar Assad remains in power until 2014, the end of his term, on the condition that somehow he would not run again in 2014. But the mere suggestion that Assad will partake in any way in any transitional scheme or a plan is absolutely out of the question as far as the Syrian opposition is concerned. But more problematic than the UN plan that Mr. Brahimi has articulated is, in fact, the outcome that the Obama administration seems to have signed off on in the Geneva Accord last summer. And those accords actually stipulate a so-called national unity government in Syria that would include elements of the existing regime sort of grafted onto an opposition a coalition that would be the new transitional government. The problem is that if this is a reflection of what I meant by the lack of strategic clarity on the part of the United States, because if you are keeping these elements, especially security services, for instance, or security officials from the ancien regime, and you're including them in the new government, then you are preserving the pockets of Iranian influence, and that is that really defeats the purpose as far as U.S. strategy is concerned.
Should the U.S. instead be pushing for a kind of ultimate victory for the all-out victory for the rebels?
I think that's definitely the only realistic case that you're going to have here that's going to end the situation. You have to. When you're calling on the fall of Assad, you cannot just limit it to his person. It has to be Assad and the entire system that is built around him. Now, some might say that the departure of Assad himself will lead to the collapse of that system. That's possible, but the purpose of U.S. Policy should be to ensure that outcome, the complete collapse of the Assadist system in Syria, because that is where that is precisely the system that Iran has been cooperating with, and that is obviously the system that has been tormenting the Syrian people, not just in the last 22 months or 20 months, it's rather for the last 40 some years.
What do you say to those who say that an outright victory is unattainable, so now's the time to negotiate?
Well, I mean, it's unattainable because the rebels are getting no assistance. If the rebels were to get particular assistance and training and organization, as they should have from a while ago, then I don't think it's that far-fetched. In fact, against all odds and facing a disadvantage in terms of their military capabilities, they've not only held against the regime's onslaught, but they've made considerable gains in many parts of the country.
Do you think there'll be any kind of change in U.S. policy? There was some talk of that. The Obama administration could take a harder line in the second term. Will the appointment of John Kerry, for example, make any difference?
No, I don't think so. I think, look, John Kerry is not the, should he become the next Secretary of State, is not the one who sets policy. It's President Obama who sets policy. And President Obama has been very, very clear about the parameters of the Syria policy from the very beginning. President Obama was and remains completely opposed to any sort of direct U.S. intervention in the Syria situation. So what? So within that parameter, the diplomats of the U.S. State Department and so on can maneuver, but those are the very set parameters of the policy. No U.S. intervention. And that means not just, a no-fly zone or military intervention. I mean, also in terms of arming the rebels. It's a consistent message. Even on the eve of the election, as a lot of people in the Arab world and Turkey were hoping that now that the President Obama had secured his re-election, that the policy would change. On the eve of the election, officials of the Obama administration were taking to Arab media to tell them, do not anticipate any change in the policy. And I think that's absolutely right. I don't foresee the change coming. I mean, even the red lines of chemical weapon use have proven to be quite hollow. I mean, Assad broke them immediately, and now we have even recent reports. The Israeli press has published a report citing Western intelligence that, in fact, Assad did use some type of chemical weapons, maybe not the ones that everybody was more afraid of, but those were still toxic weapons anyway, and that resulted in casualties. And as we haven't even heard a peep from the Obama administration anyway. So all of that indicates indicates also that Assad knows that the Obama administration will not interfere in any way, which sort of gives him a leeway to try to impose the kind of solution that you alluded to earlier, which is this idea of a stalemate, nobody can win, let's negotiate.
What do you think is going to happen over the next few months? Do you think Assad's going to survive 2013?
He could well survive 2013. It really depends on the capabilities of the rebels on the one hand, and also on whether they can maintain the kind of discipline that they have so far of not really going into serious clashes among themselves. So I mean, there have been flashes of that here and there, but it hasn't yet been anything widespread. But there is a risk of that, obviously, moving forward. But there's also another possibility, as Assad, which is something I mean I've written about in the past, is that as Assad's territorial grip shrinks, he will sort of consolidate his position in, obviously, in the Alawite coastal mountains on the one hand, but also in Damascus, which he's trying to hold on to as much as possible because it gives him the ability to continue to pose as Syria's legitimate government. And also the city of Homs. The city of Homs and its surrounding is very important. On the one hand, because it's right on the border in Lebanon, Hezbollah is helping Assad fight in Homs. It kind of protects his flank from there. But also, Homs is a gateway, historically even, into the coastal region, specifically into Tartus. So if Assad can hold on to Damascus, the coastal enclave, and at least empty out Homs, make it a buffer that he can control, or at least hold off the rebels there from entering into the coastal region, then I think he has a chance with the chemical weapons in hand as well to hold off the rebel onslaught for a while. But ultimately, I think it's not go it's a it's going to be very hard for him to hold off forever. But in the medium term, it's not an impossibility, no.
Do you think the regime and indeed its allies are talking up talk of a political settlement as a diplomatic means of survival?
The regime is put as a diplomatic means of survival. It's definitely the case, I think, that this is a stalling tactic. I mean, they put out the vice president Farouk Sharaa, and now I've heard that Qadri Jamil, I think also
Deputy Prime Minister or
the
something,
Deputy Prime Minister, correct, yes, I think he also said something similar, that a military victory is not in the cards, and so let's negotiate. But that again has been the regime's position from the beginning. Walid Muallim said something, the foreign minister said something very similar much earlier in the game. You know, he said, you know, the regime's not going anywhere. If you're betting on the collapse of the regime, you're mistaken. So let's go to the dialogue table. I think all of this now is just an attempt to sort of create the impression that this regime is not going anywhere, that the military route is futile. But I frankly don't see anybody at this stage, at least in the militias of the rebel forces, interested in any way in sitting down and somehow giving a breathing room for this regime to sort of recompose and live for another day, to fight another day, because they know that they will be at a disadvantage at that stage. So I don't think anybody's going to give them the opening at this point. And as long as they keep making territorial gains, however incremental and however painful, they will just keep on tightening the noose. And remember, I mean, if there is any analogy from next door in Lebanon, for instance, the civil war of Lebanon, it took a very, very long time before sort of these geographic lines consolidated as to where each militia controlled what territory and so on and so forth. So I think, you know, in the first 2 years of the Syrian uprising, the gains that have been made by the rebels with so little outside assistance are actually quite impressive. So if they can keep that up, I don't think they will pay any heed to the regime's sort of posing on wanting dialogue or anything like that.
Okay, Tony, thanks very much.
Thank you.